on Infonomicon, we're going to be talking about some show changes, the history of the BBS, Infonomicon TV, Thomas Dolby, AT&T, AirSnort, how to open a Mac Mini, Mr. Cote, Microsoft Spyware, Titanium Processor, and a little programming at the end. This is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to me. We haven't had a show or a website for a while, but now we have a show, because I'm doing it right this second, and we have a website, because I'm paying a lot of money for a dedicated server now. We've got a lot more bandwidth, we've got a lot more server space, and hopefully we won't have to deal with that problem anymore. During the little outage, we've had some discussion of what's going to be going on with the show. It seems that myself and Mr. Obfuscated don't have the same free time anymore. I've started school and started a job. He started a new job. And my free time isn't the same time as his. And it takes a lot of time to do a show. And he puts in a lot more time than I do. And it, like, killed me now. So we're going to see what we can work out. But we might have some lineup changes. We might even have a time change up where the show is going to be changing 30 minutes or just an hour instead of the hour and a half. Or we might figure it out. We might do an 8-hour show every week. So watch out. Let's see. We're going to change the format of the show a little bit also. We're going to spend more time talking about programming, about current tech topics, not just news, but what's going on, like 802.11.g. What is it? How's it work? And we're also going to be talking about some computer history, maybe. I'm really into computer history. I met Jason Scott, actually, in real life this weekend at ShmooCon in Washington, D.C. He's a real big computer historian. He's got an awesome movie coming out, or a documentary that he's made coming out, on the history of BBSs, and that website is going to be in the show notes. Now, this BBS documentary that I was talking about is really kind of cool. I got to see parts of it this weekend, and I did a little bootlegging of it. So maybe, here's a hint, Infonomicon TV is going to have a couple bootleg clips of Jason Scott's BBS movie. But actually, he's releasing it under the Creative Commons, and I think I'm allowed to bootleg that. That's exciting. Speaking of Infonomicon TV, we've been working on some stuff for it. I got a new video camera. And I've been recording some little projects I've been working on. I've been learning more about laser printers, and I've got a segment filmed on it, and how to take them apart, and how to clean them up, and how to fix them, and things like that. We're going to build an FM transmitter. Well, we're not building it from scratch. We're taking an existing one and adding an antenna to it. And that's kind of neat. How to make your own foldable keyboard. I just bought one of those little foldable keyboards that you can sneak into places. Well, here's how to build your own for a lot cheaper. Because maybe $20 isn't a lot of money for some people, but if you can do it for like $2 or $3, why the fuck pay $20? It's not like you're going to use it every day. Truck computer, it's coming along. I have a job now, so I have a little money, but I just spent all my money at ShmooCon buying liquor and computer books and traveling around D.C. I got my Slack box working, and that's kind of exciting. All I did was switch out the monitor. Now, I mentioned ShmooCon in Washington, D.C. What the hell is that? ShmooCon's a... How about we start back this? AirSnort. We've all used it. I hope we've used it. If you haven't used it, check out AirSnort. It's a really cool utility that has to do with wireless networking. The Shmoo Group, the people that put that out, they decided they're going to have a conference in D.C. They called it ShmooCon. They didn't think the weather was going to be real nice, because I hear in D.C. it rains a lot, but it was a beautiful weekend for it. There were a lot of very intelligent people there. Got to meet a lot of people. I met Joe Klein. I got to meet the guy from TechSfiles.com, Jason Scott, like I just said. I got to hang out a lot with Lucky225, who's an interesting character. I got to hang out with my buddy Ice Knife, who I don't even think went to the con. I think all he did was get drunk and run around talking about his Cisco cards. hopefully he learned something there. And thanks, Lucky, for the ticket. We got to see some really interesting presentations. I've been doing a lot of work with the WRT54G. It's a Linksys wireless router. Be looking for a text file about that coming out pretty soon. Got to see some people. A guy made a war pack, which is a backpack for war walking. And I saw some people talk about transforming this WRTG into a fully functioning little computer or router. It hands out security certificates. They got a lot of shit working on this damn thing. So that's really cool. Be looking for stuff about that in the near future. Now, we got some email. I've been working on the theme for the show and doing something different every week. Well, a couple weeks ago, I did a Futurama theme, and Strand wrote in and said that remix was awesome. I didn't remix it. I just added my talking over it. But I did find it and thought it was cool. Some dude named Wolfcracker brought up on a public forum what he thought was wrong with this show, and I'm glad that he did. It's important for people to say, hey, here's what's wrong with your show. And then he asked us not to talk about him on the show. And, buddy, if you email me and say, hey, don't tell this to people, that's cool. But if you're just going to be running around spouting your mouth off and say, oh, wait, but don't talk about me, you know, there's two sides, buddy. Fuck you. Thank you, Pixel Fiend and Telco Bob. They sent in a video of how to open the Mac Mini. It was awesome. And we found a review, actually, on the internet. This guy named Kote. I'm going to call him Kotex just because I like him. And I really do. He said, these dudes are pure-out assholes. It's got the level of shit-talk and ass-fucking and making fun of everyone that you would expect from two techie males. But on the other hand, it is entertaining, and I laughed out loud plenty of times. So thanks, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate it. During this time that we've had off from the show, I actually prepared a really, really, really good talk on anti-spyware by Microsoft, their program they bought from Giant. Then Ben Rev Radio did a little show about it. So if you want to learn about anti-spyware from Microsoft, either listen to Ben Rev or listen to me right now. My biggest complaint that I've got about this anti-spyware program Microsoft has going on is it doesn't clean off the major stuff. Like, I ran it, it was great, and Internet Explorer was still installed on my computer. What the fuck? Get rid of Internet Explorer, and you have a lot less spyware. Here's a little tip for everybody. Now, it says on the website that it tries to get you to validate your copy of XP. You've probably heard it from people. You don't have to validate your copy of XP. You can go install it just straight from Microsoft's website and just say, no, I don't wish to invalidate. And then you can carry it around on a thumb drive and install it on any computer that you like. I've been using it a lot at work. It's not the greatest, but it's not really that bad. And I really like the way that it can sit on your computer, and every time something tries to get changed, like your home page or things like that, it'll say, hey, this was trying to change your home page. Do you want to allow it or do you want to disallow it? And that's actually really handy for clueless users. Unless it's really clueless of a user and they just get freaked out by it. It only works in Windows 2000, Windows XP, and Windows 2003, so if you've got Millennium, you're fucked, like you didn't know that. And if you got 98, you're fucked also. Now, it supposedly unhijacks your browser, and it takes you to MSN.com, and it changes your cert page to the Microsoft search, it changes all this stuff, and it sets Internet Explorer as the default browser. So if you didn't have spyware on your computer and you changed your homepage to google.com, boom, it's back to msn.com. You have to change that again. And it doesn't do shit with Firefox. Firefox is gaining in market share, and I think it's really shitty to ignore those customers that have Firefox. Oh, wait, I use Firefox. I don't think I've ever had it hijacked. I don't think I've ever had spyware that changed my start page on Firefox. Oh, maybe that's why they didn't mess with it, because it's not as broke as their shit. And they also have a SpyNet community, which is really hard to find information about. I didn't choose to join it, but if you do choose to join, every time it says, would you like to report this to Microsoft, you can click on send it to the SpyNet community also. Excellent. Now, that's just a quick little bit. Here's go a little deeper on Infonomicon. It found traces on a bunch of different computers, of my web search. It finds Clary. It finds my search bar. It finds AltNet. This is after I've been using Adaware. But does it really find these things, or does it just find what Adaware didn't completely remove? That's still up for discussion. These things were not functioning after I ran Adaware, and I think Microsoft just found traces and said, I'm going to report this so I look like I'm doing a good job. Now, some things it ignores automatically, unlike Adaware. Popular screensavers, Grokster, Kazaa, things like that, it's going to automatically ignore. If I'm cleaning off a computer and I find Kazaa, that bitch is getting the fuck off. It's crap, it's horrid, it's just spyware riddled. If you're not smart enough to go get LimeWire or something that doesn't just fill your computer full of broken-ass shit, then you don't deserve to be using Kazaa. Now, one good thing that I did find, or another good thing I did find, is it's not a Windows update yet. The bad part about that is I bet they're going to charge us for it pretty soon. Pretty much you're just buying your warranty. Yeah, that's pretty fucking shitty. Something else funny that I did find was the original website on Microsoft.com, the little thing they had come up to advertise this, is a guy with binoculars looking at his computer. Someone wasn't paying attention, and originally the computer was actually a Mac. It was a PowerBook. It was quickly changed to a Dell. If you Google, you can find those pictures. I think that's really kind of freaking neat. All right, now I'm going to go on to a little bit of news, and then we're going to do a little bit of programming. Isn't that some awesome shit? Programming on the radio, how the fuck is that going to work? I'm going to fucking tell you in a little bit. So stay tuned. On today's Linux Tip, we're going to be talking about killing a process. Let's say you're running Linux and something freezes up on you. How do you get rid of it? You simply go to your command line and use the handy-dandy PS and the kill command. To use the PS command, you go PS space dash capital A lowercase u lowercase x. That'll display all your processes and their PID number. If you're wondering what the AUX means, or this, you type PS space dash dash help. That'll display all the help files for the PS command. After you look at your graph and figure out which process you want to kill and its PID number, at your command line, you type kill space and then the PID number and hit return. That'll get rid of it, and that's been your Linux tip of the day. Alright, welcome back to Infonomicon, news you need, like it or not. This is your host, Droops, for today. Thomas Dolby. Who the fuck is Thomas Dolby? Well, in 1983, he had a hit song. It was, She Blinded Me With Science! It wasn't that big of a hit. It was the number 5 song. But this British-born musician still earns his living making music. He's not writing Britney Spears songs, he's not writing that crap, but he is writing something that most of us actually listen to. He writes cell phone themes. A couple of them he's written is Tropical 2, Groove, and Jazzy, just to name a few of them. In addition to his relatively anonymous efforts. Now, ringtones are typically just 30 seconds long, compared to 3 minutes for the average pop song. Mr. Dolby, it's actually a really good name for a musician, says there are similarities between composing pop songs and ringtones. It's helpful if it's catchy, he says, of the ringtones, and concludes, whether one is writing a pop song or ringtone, a hook is a hook is a hook. He says he wishes he had more time to make real music, but adds that with a ringtone's phenomenon potentially limited shelf life, it's a case of make hay while the sun shines. Which pretty much means he makes shitty music. He doesn't get paid for it much, but now that he can make ringtones, he's rolling in the cash. I'm sure we've all heard She Blinded Me With Science. I'm going to tell you another one that I'm sure we've all heard this guy has. He's the guy responsible for arranging the polyphonic version of Francisco Tarriaga's Grand Vals, which is better known as the Nokia Signature Ring. So that's kind of damn cool. So anyway, She Blinded Me With Nokia. Moving on from there. Intel and Hewlett-Packard have been working for more than a decade on this computer chip. And it's only found its way into a small little market niche. Okay, there's this company called Secure 64. They're in Inglewood, California. And they're working on making appliances using the Itanium chip. The Itanium chip, something Intel and Hewlett-Packard came up with. It can carry out 8 instructions simultaneously on specialized software, as compared to 3 or 4 instructions on most advanced chips today. But they're a little expensive, and you don't get much performance boost if you're running Windows or you're running Linux on these things, as compared to just running it on a brand new hyper-threaded Pentium. But one thing that you can do with these things is write custom software that just is written for the Itanium. That's where this company Secure 64 is coming into. They're writing software where they can have a web server that's just a web server. It doesn't have all the rest of the operating system crap that's not needed. It's just a web server. And with writing it from the ground up and writing it just as a web server, they think that they can stop people from breaking into it and it going down as much and things like that. I think it's really cool. Intel is, of course, excited about it because it's going to allow them to sell more computers to people when they might not really need a new computer upgrade. Secure 64 is having a little trouble with getting people to program for this because all the programs are going to have to be written exactly for the Itanium and their software platform. But they're working on it. And they're working on this thing called Web Edge Engines. It's a way of running their software alongside Windows or alongside Linux, so that if you have a web server that functions as something else, it's got a whole different set of software running the web server. So maybe your Windows box gets compromised, but the software right alongside it is still server pages. I think that's pretty fucking cool. AT&T, more big news with them. They've been purchased by SBC, which is a telephone company that used to be the little shithead out of Texas, but is now proving its weight on the global market up here. AT&T, the company that letters stood for nothing but used to stand for American Telephone and Telegraph, even though they were expressly permitted by law from entering into the telegraph business, and, of course, were never in it. Here's a quick timeline of AT&T for all you people that don't know your history. In 1876, Alex, who's Alex Graham Bell, spent a lot of time studying him. I believe I can call him Alex now. He invented this telephone thing. And he was financed by his wife's dad, who had a lot of money. And he's like, I invented this telephone, it's great, I'm going to sell it, and people can make a lot of money. And they went to Western Union, who was the largest communications company in the world at the time, and they said, hey, you want to buy this? And they said, ah, that's a fad. Telegrams are where it's at. Of course, they were envisioning one day you'd be carrying around a little device that would just print out your message from your friend on a screen, maybe. Not paper, I don't know. But they were wrong, and that's why AT&T was the big name, and Western Union was the company that sends money worldwide on their telegram crap. Anyway, so they said, well, let's go into business for ourselves, and they went on and found the Bell System, which, of course, came out to be AT&T. That was 1876. We're going to jump forward a couple years to 1947, when 3 Bell Lab scientists invent the transistor, which, of course, lays the foundation for all modern electronics. 1970, AT&T introduces customer dialing of international long-distance calls. Now, this was initially between Manhattan and London. Before this, if you wanted to make a long-distance call, you had the operator place the call for you. When it was placed, they'd call you back. 1983-84, AT&T comes up with the cell phone. As kind of as we know it today, 1984, the government breaks them up in this great thing called divestiture. If you don't know about it, go look it up. It broke up AT&T into 7 Baby Bells and told them they couldn't be in the cellular market. 1996, AT&T spins off products and systems company later called Lucent Technologies and a computer company called NCR. And now back to right now, 2005, SBC bought them out. My dad's 73. As long as he's been alive, there's been AT&T. What's SBC going to do with the name? I asked my phone friends. They were debating. They didn't know. I hope SBC keeps the name. I hope they go back to the old logo with the bell. I think that's fucking cool. And I think I saw a man cover the other day with the bell on it. I might go take a picture of it. Anyway, little news on AT&T. All right, there's a new search engine. It's called Answers.com. It responds with data, not links. If you search Google and you want to know the size of a city, it might give you a page that tells you that, and you might be really lucky, and you might be able to just skim the links and find it. But Answer.com, or Answers, with an S.com, actually will just tell it to you. I think that's kind of neat. Several other major search engines or search sites have taken more, but limited steps toward providing answers. Microsoft's new MSN search provides direct answers to some search queries like population of cities at the top of the web links. Ask Jeeves does something similar on certain queries. Amazon's A9 that we've talked about before has a button called Reference that provides some direct answers. But now there's an entire search service devoted to providing direct answers to search questions. I think that's pretty fucking cool. They use a variety of reference sources, such as dictionaries, encyclopedias. It generates a thoughtfully organized page of relevant information about your search query without requiring you to click on any more links. Want to see how they're going to make money with that? I'm sure they'll have a lot of ads on their page. Now, to avoid a lot of scrolling, Answers.com's got a little box that lets you jump between dictionary results, encyclopedia results, things like that. It also gives you a link to the Google search on it. And links to relevant blogs on the topic, image searches, and other resources. It's pretty cool. Everybody go check that out. Speaking of search engines, Google has a 92% return rate. People that use it come back. Yahoo's got an 81. Ask Jeeves has a 63. MSN has a 61. MSN, Microsoft's great. Oh, it's the awesomest search engine ever. Is getting beaten by Ask Jeeves? Oh my god. Come on, micro-shit. even lower number they've got going on. They're tied with Ask Jeeves at 38, which is the percent of people said they would use it as their primary search engine. Google's got 84. So even if you doubled MSN, nah, you wouldn't get near Google. Oh, but MSN is Microsoft, and it's better. Oh, wait. No, it's not. Anyway, here's a little knowledge about Ethernet. Ethernet came out in 1980. It ran at 10 megabits a second. Today, you can spend a few $100 and connect a computer in your house over a fourth generation gigabit Ethernet that's 100 times as fast. Well, now the fifth generation is kind of coming true. It's called 10 Gigabit Ethernet. It was introduced in 2001. Cost $50,000 to hook your computer up to it. Well, now it's only $5,000, and of course this price is going to continue to drop to where it's consumer level, like 20, 30 bucks, like everything else. That means in a few years, when you walk into a computer store and you pick it up, it's going to be affordable. And it's going to be 10 gigabit. Now, by the time this actually comes to your house and you can afford it, we're going to have high-definition movies, so it's going to, you know, take 30 seconds to transfer a DVD across. Jesus, that's amazing to me. Now, of course, 10 gigabit Ethernet. Who, of course, is going to use it first? Oh, it's the scientists. They're going to predict weather patterns. They're going to do all this research. But who's going to make it popular? It's going to be download movies from the Internet. You're going to be like, wow, I wish I could watch this movie. And by the time you sit down, it's downloaded. It's going to be fucking sweet. Of course, it's not going to be 10 gigabit to your house if phone companies have anything to say about it. But if it's on someone else's computer, you can get it pretty quick. Okay, everybody loves a little music goodness, a little internet radio. If you didn't like internet radio, you wouldn't be listening to my ass talking right now. There's a new company around. They're called Mecora. Mercora. And it's peer-to-peer radio. If you want to be a DJ, sign up with them. You make your content. You distribute it. And it's distributed peer-to-peer to people that want to listen to you. which is kind of neat. But you can't make a show of sorts. You pretty much put your content up that you happen to like, and people can search for an artist or a genre, but you can't search for a specific song. So if you want to hear Margaritaville, you search for Jimmy Buffett and hope it comes along. Macora is a closely held Santa Clara, California company. If you're a long-time listener, you know what a closely held company is. There's others that do this. Shoutcast, which is from America Online, which is a unit of Time Warner, has, a Shoutcast service that attracted close to 200,000 listeners a few afternoons ago. Now that's a lot of damn people listening to a lot of damn radio. I need to be getting Infonomicon on some of that shit. Actually, we are, but, anyway. Now, there's some services like Live 365. They've got peer-to-peer sharing, but they don't have to have peer-to-peer technology. You pay them $10 a month, and they'll let you upload your stuff to their server and handle your bandwidth problems, which is a lot cheaper than the way we're doing Infonomicon. It makes a lot of sense to me. There's a London one, Last FM. They've got their own little variation. You set up your music, and you can search your neighbor's music, and it decides your music for you based on what your neighbors are listening to. It's kind of interesting. And with these peer-to-peer services, they're only temporarily streamed to your computer, not downloaded to your computer like podcasting. So you can't take it with you, and you have to go through that extra step of actually recording the shit if you happen to want to have the new Britney Spears song, whatever. Now, I don't know how legal this is. Supposedly, the Recording Industry Association of America are working with companies about this, like Macora and Live 65 working with them, so that it'll be perfectly legal. And they're also paying annual fees and royalties to groups such as Sound Exchange Incorporated and the American Society of Composers, Authors, Publishers, or ASCAP, which pass the royalties on to whoever owns the royalties to the music. And a lot of these things are still playing mainstream and popular music, and but still, you're getting a little variation. You know, if everybody's playing Britney Spears, there's some dude that's going to be playing Croatian rock or Bollywood film songs. If you don't know what Bollywood is, look that up on the internet. It's like India or India's Hollywood. Excuse me. I don't know what I'm talking about. And so there's a little variety on these things. And there's also free ones that don't have copyrighted music per se. There's Rant Radio. They've got a lot of industrial, a lot of punk, and a lot of crap like me. And I just looked out my window, and there's some strange dog in my yard. These companies are having a little trouble fine-tuning their business models. You have to get the word out there. So you have to have free for people to come listen to it. But how do you make it so people would want to pay for it? Like, if I had a service that no one knew about, and I was charging $20 a month for people to listen to Droop's radio or whatever, that wouldn't really work out the best, because people wouldn't want to go to it in the first place when there's lots of free alternatives. So they're working on that, and it's kind of like the DVD thing. If you can download it off the internet, why do you want to buy it? They have to make it better and make it worth your while to pay for this kind of stuff, because there's people like me, and there's people like the Rant Radio people, and there's people like the DDP Hack Radio people that'll do all this shit for free, all the time, endlessly. And even though sometimes we have to take breaks, sorry about that, everybody, I think they're going to have a little difficulty getting this stuff going with everybody. So good luck to them. I hope they do well. And I hope they don't have to charge money to have radio over the internet, because I think that should be free. And no, I'm not just stretching out the show because it's just me today, and then I want to pass the 30-minute mark at least. Yep, we just passed it. And moving right along. Nokia and Microsoft are teaming up a bit to offer more quote-unquote functionality on your cell phone. Nokia has been long against having Microsoft anything on their phones. They actually have a interest in a company called Symbian, which makes software for cell phones, things like that. But Microsoft is getting more and more in there with their Windows Media Player. With XP out now, a lot of people use Windows Media Player to organize their music on their computers. iTunes is a big thing, but iTunes, most people don't realize, is free. And Media Player comes with your computer. You have to go with what the most of the customers have. So if they've got their, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble doing the show myself. Maybe next week will be better when Obfuscated gets some internet access. So anyway, they've got to take the phones and they've got to make it work with the Windows Media Player. So Nokia's given some money to Microsoft. Microsoft's doing a little product placement, a little pushing of their technology. And Nokia's giving in a bit. Now, giving in for Nokia, you're thinking, what's it matter? Well, there's a lot of cell phone companies that don't want to use Microsoft technology. Sony does, but Sony's already in bed with Microsoft. And one of the reasons that they don't want to do that is they don't want Microsoft seizing a big chunk of the profits in the cell phone industry, just like it has in the PC industry. If every cell phone is running Windows cell phone, or Microsoft cell phone edition, or whatever the fuck it's called, then Microsoft's going to have a lot more power over them than just, you know, if it was running a Symbian operating system. So they're a little wary of Microsoft, because Microsoft's the big bad dog. Anyway, they think they're going to be using some of Microsoft's compression and copyright protection and synchronization technology on the new Nokia Digital Music Player, which is going to be coming out in the new Nokia handhelds. And they're also going to be using a thing that'll sync up with Exchange so that you can get your email a lot easier on your cell phone. I guess if you're a Windows user, you're getting more functionality, but at what price are you going to be paying for this functionality? Well, back over to one of my favorite laptop producers, IBM. As we all know, they're selling their ThinkPad line to Lenovo. And now there's a little government upsetness. I've just made up that word. About this sale. Like Representative Donald Meneluzu, whatever. He's the chairman of the House Small Business Committee. He says that his concern here is that we're going to reach a point where economic security becomes an issue of national security. Because, well, Lenovo seems to be owned mainly by the Chinese government, which is a little bit democracy, a little bit communist, and a little bit nuclear capable. And they also have the world's largest army. And that's a lot of frickin' people. And now this Lenovo-IBM deal is supposedly a milestone in Pacific commerce. It's the first billion-dollar takeover in the U.S. by a mainland Chinese company. Let's see. Okay, one, we shouldn't go with the commies. That's true. And two, we shouldn't let people control our defense. Like, I don't want to have our pilots flying a plane that was built in China. You know, because if we go to war with China, then we have no supply of planes. And I know this is kind of setting a precedent that we can send stuff to China, then big contracts, you know, sell our businesses like this. But where the fuck do you think my ThinkPad was made in the first place? Was it made in by America over in Texas? Was it made in the Midwest? No, it was made in China. And whether the name of the building says IBM or the name of the building says Lenovo, if we go to war with China, that building is going to be owned by the Chinese. I mean, it'd be different if we were selling out, you know, a big factory out in Wyoming that made ThinkPads and moving it all over to China and selling it to the Chinese government. But IBM's losing money. They decided to sell. Lenovo wants to buy. You know, the Chinese fucking make the things anyway. I think there's a little bit of hissy fit, and I think if they're so worried about this, they should have been worried about it a long time ago when China started making most of our electronics. Fuck 'em, I'm all for Lenovo making the ThinkPads. I'll probably eat my words if ThinkPads go down in quality, but, you know, go with the flow, fucking adapt, you bitches. Alright, I've been buying computer books for years and years now, And the ones that I seem to find that I like the most are made by O'Reilly. If you look around other tech sites, if you're a techie, obviously you are if you listen to my show. But O'Reilly makes some really, really good books. I'm not saying all of them are perfect, but I really enjoy all the ones that I've purchased. Well, now they have a new magazine coming out. It's called Make, and it's a quarterly magazine, and it kind of follows on the trend of, like, I remodel my house, and I go to the bookstore, and I get magazines, or I have subscriptions, and it shows magazines about people gutting their bathroom and remodeling it, or people building a deck, or things that I'm interested in, and it's very how-to-ish. Well, Make is do-it-yourself nerd stuff. I'm going to read straight from the article, just because I think they put it well. But the premiere issue, which is out this month, and actually it is this month, I'm really putting out Infonomicon later today. It features reviews and projects for the techie do-it-yourselfers, ranging from how to create a rig to take aerial photos using a kite to extend the reach of wireless gear made by Apple Incorporated. Other articles feature detailed instructions for creating such things as special 5-in-1 computer networking cable and a magnetic stripe reader to uncover the information stored on credit cards, which, of course, is made or was written by that Acidus guy that was on Ben Rev and copied by Kevin Rose on the Screen Shitters. Anyway, it also includes a step-by-step guide to building a stabilizer for video camcorders that the article claims cost just $14 in parts, including a barbell. In addition, readers will find a primer and soldering, and the magazine will also profiles a backyard monorail built by a California man. That's frickin' cool. It's kinda like, Hackaday, but more detailed and actually in a magazine form, so I don't have to print shit out. And to open their magazine, they've chosen a quote from Benjamin Franklin. It says, "To be thrown upon one's own resources is to be cast onto the very lap of fortune." And for all you kids out there, that means work really hard and invent stuff and enjoy building stuff and do a little hardware hacking, a little software hacking, and it'll make you a smarter fella. I'm going to get a little sip of coffee. Well, I have a coffee problem. Well, it's not really a problem for me, it's a problem for others. Well, let's just start the story back. 150 years ago, there was this war going on called the Civil War in the United States. And the South had been a very prosperous economy of growing things. And, well, they couldn't really import coffee, they couldn't really grow coffee, because they had to grow food. And they were blockaded in by the Union forces from bringing stuff in. If you were to run the blockade, you didn't want to bring coffee, you wanted to bring bullets and guns and clothing and things like that. So they went out looking in the woods, because people need their coffee, and they found this horrible, horrible, horrible substance called chicory. And the Indians supposedly used it to make coffee, and pretty much they made coffee with it, and it's bitter. It makes your coffee really bitter. So in New Orleans, people got used to drinking it that way, and they now mix chicory and coffee together, and add a little milk in it, and call it a café au lait. I can't pronounce different coffees. But anyway, Community Coffee makes some chicory coffee. It's called the New Orleans Blend. And I make it extremely, extremely, extremely strong. So it's really, really strong, and really, really bitter, and really, really hot. And I love it. Well, speaking of coffee, I recently got a coffee maker that I can program. So when I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I have a hot cup of joe ready to go. And to me, that's really just fucking cool. The reason I bought it was like $5 more than the plain one. And the other one was dirty, and I don't wash them out. I just throw coffee pots away when they get nasty in the tank, because they're nasty all the way through. Anyway, home automation is the next thing I want to talk about, just like the coffee pot, a little bit more advanced. When I have a lot of money and I build my new house, if I'm still doing Infonomicon or Infonomicon TV, or I'm affiliated with, if anyone ever takes over, I'm going to automate my house and put it on Infonomicon TV and let you people see. It's going to be fucking cool. And now we've all heard of like the fridge that can order milk when the milk is about to expire. Or you can get on the internet and check how much jelly you have because you want to have toast and jam for breakfast. That's all kind of neat. But now there's new stuff coming out, and this is actual real products. There's a microwave oven, there's a bread maker, things like that, that have a barcode scanner. You take your Campbell's soup, you scan the barcode, you put it in there, it fucking knows what it is, and it cooks it for you. To the proper method. That's really cool. Now you don't have to read on the box to heat up your rolled tacos that you bought for $1 for $50. You just scan the barcode, and it'll know to put them in for 50 seconds and turn them. I think that's really, really fucking cool. They also have a computer that's for the kitchen. It does all the traditional computer things, like email, DVDs, CDs. It's got FM radio built into it. You can surf the net, look up recipes. But what's neat about it is that it ties into your fridge and your microwave oven and your bread maker, things like that, and records what's going on. So if your boyfriend's or your girlfriend or your wife or whoever, your roommate, is eating all your Hot Pockets, you know what time the Hot Pockets were eaten, how long they were cooked, what kind they were, shit like that. That's fucking cool. And they've also wrapped up the keyboard, which has a built-in mouse, and there's a remote control, because in the kitchen you get your hands dirty. They've wrapped it up so you can just hose it off with the sink. So you're not damaging anything. So it's a little bit less thinking for people to do. We just recently got a microwave that didn't have the old dial that you turn. And, you know, now they have barcode scanning ones. One day when I have a good job, and I'm going to have all this cool stuff, and I'll put it on Infonomicon TV for you. All right. Well, I'm pretty much about out of stuff to talk about. I'm sorry this show kind of changed halfway through, but I've had to space my recording time out, as it would be. And this is the second bit I've recorded. I didn't get the full hour and a half, because it's hard to get that far. And I just didn't do it. But that's okay. I'm going to put some music in it. We'll get an hour and a half out of it. It's one of the good things about our high quality of the audio stream. Let's see. What else can I think of? We're about to talk about some programming. And I have been working on my FM transmitter. And I've written a little Windows program. I'm going to have the source code available. That calculates the proper antenna length. So if you want to broadcast on 88.9... it'll calculate the wavelength, and the proper antenna needs to be half the wavelength, and it'll calculate all that for you. So that's going to be kind of handy when we release Infonomicon TV, which I really have been working on. And it's actually coming a lot farther than the radio show is. All right, we're going to go back to the whole, we're going to talk about different things other than just tech news. Let's talk about some programming. Okay, for Infonomicon programming, we're going to learn some Java. Java's not really cool, but if you're running Linux, if you're running Windows, I don't have to modify my code for your operating system. It's object-oriented, which makes it a modern programming language. It compiler's free, runs on everything. To get your compiler, go to java.sun.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a thing that says J2EE 1.4 SDK. If you're listening to the show in the future, it's probably not going to be 1.4. Anyway, download this thing, install it, and it gives you two very important things. It's a program called Java C, which is your compiler, and Java, which is the thing that runs your programs. It's all done on the command line. If you're running Windows, set this into your path. If you're running Linux, install this properly, and then you can just type it whatever directory you're in. Okay, we're not actually going to write a program today. But I'm going to put an example, Hello World, on the website. If anyone wants to go look at it and install their Java, they can try this Hello World. And on the next show, I'll talk about it. What we are going to talk about today in programming is a thing that I like to do when I program. It's called the waterfall model. And the waterfall model, or the waterfall method, is a way of preparing before you do your program and maintaining your program when you're done with it. Now, unless you're someone astoundingly good at programming, you don't just sit down and write a complicated piece of software. Now, writing a hello world, you can sit down, one finger, eyes shut, type it out. You know, something complicated you have to think about, so you'd start with your first program thinking this way. Now, the waterfall model, the first part is called the user requirement phase. You have to question about what this program needs to be. Like, if we're going to have a program that says, hey, what's your name? Take this input of Droops, or whatever your name is, and then write, oh, hello, Droops. Then that's what we need to think about. We need to say, well, Droops, it's going to have to ask for that, so I should probably have a variable of some sort that I'm declaring. You know, how is it going to be aligned? Think about these things. Now, the analysis phase is write it out on paper in plain English so that when you get into your complicated program, you have it written out kind of in a flow and you don't get so darn confused. Design phase, you can write it out on paper. I kind of combine it with the analysis phase, and the design is how the program is going to work. Now, next one's the fun one. It's the implementation phase. It's when you get to type all your curly braces and actually punch out the code that you're going to be writing. Integration phase, well, that's part of the object-oriented part, where, let me explain object-oriented programming. In the old days, I'm sure most of us have written something with BASIC. It was 10, print, you know, this, 10, blah, 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 this, 10, go to 20, you know, whatever. And everything was in a row. And if you wanted to reuse code, you had to do a lot of modifying on the code, and it became a pain. Now, object-oriented programming is when you can declare objects. And think of an object as like a physical object, like a car. If you want a program that's going to be using things on a car, like cars have windshields, and cars have tires, and cars have this, you write an object, call it automobile, and have it describe all those things, so that when you write a program describing needing parts of an automobile later, you can pull that object out, and you've already got that pre-written. So object-oriented program has a lot of reusable code. It helps out things. All right. So the phase after implementation is integration phase. It's when you mesh it with other parts of the project. If you're in charge of writing the automobile object, then you write your automobile object, and then you put it with the dealership code to write the program. And the last phase is the maintenance phase. It's when you update your program. You know, for schoolwork, it's handy to go back to old things that you've written and every once in a while update them with your new knowledge. By adding in that new knowledge to it, you'll learn a little bit more than you just were learning at school, and all your code gets better and better. Then when you say, oh man, how do you do that? And you think, oh, I wrote a program like that in my first year of college, and you go back to it, you don't have all shit-ass code. You have good code that you can still learn from. All right, that's the waterfall model. So go to the Infonomicon.org website, download or copy, cut, paste into Notepad, into Edit, into whatever text editor you like, code for the Hello World, and we'll talk about it next week. Okay, that's the programming segment of the show. Maybe some of y'all bastards will learn how to program a little bit. Now it's time for the sites, terms, podcasts, whatever of the week. The sites of the week is, of course, packetsniffers.org. I really like them, and I appreciate the fact that they're good at video editing, and I'm not, and I'm sucking miserable working on Infonomicon TV Episode 3. Next site, podcastalley.com. Go to it, vote for us, vote for Ben Rev Radio, vote for whoever you like. I really have started liking the Night Drive Through Babylon. In fact, they're the podcast of the week. They're on DDP Hack Radio over at BenRev.com. And they're also on Podcast Alley. It's a good show. It's techno. I don't know if y'all are all into it. They have a website, actually. It's radio.tlmn.com. Term of the week is a dirty Sanchez. It's when you get done having anal sex with someone, you whip your dick out, and you draw them a little mustache on their upper lip. Mr. Cote wouldn't be surprised to hear it, so there you go, buddy. And I believe this is an Infonomicon. I'm sorry it's short, but it's just me, and you're lucky you got this much. Shouts to Obfuscated, Black Ratchet, DJ Mollusk, Shedda, Berserk, Majestic, Pixel Fiend, Abstruse, Telco Bob, Cote, T-Bag, Ed, Spunky Boy, and, oh yeah, and Sunshine and Lucky. Thanks again, Lucky, for the tickets. And Sunshine, you know who you are. Citadel, Strand, and Risen. And of course, last but not least, my darling, Miss Jinkies. Yes, Spunky Boy, you're not my darling. And, closing thought, I was at a hacker conference at ShmooCon in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and a fella, he knows who he is, with a hat that said, "Got Root," complained to me, and he said, "Damn weather bug, it doesn't even tell the weather right." I thought it was funny, maybe you don't. Anyway, this has been Infonomicon, I've been Droops, our website is infonomicon.org. If you're a podcasting guy, you can go check out the site and see the show notes and see the cool stuff that we do. And if you're not a podcasting guy, go read about podcasting. It's a really cool thing. You don't even have to have an iPod to do it. Anyway, this has been Droops, and I'm Mickey Finn, it seems. The closing music tonight, since we have about 40 minutes to go, is going to be a selection of Kudzu King's, some Union Disunion, and maybe a Corey Feldman song thrown in there just for fun. If you're wondering who these bands are, the Kudzu Kings is the local hippie band, as it would be. One of them has actually smoked so much pot he could do math in my apartment before, and never remembers me, but always remembers my wife. Union Disunion is a buddy of mine from school who had a little band and killed himself a long time ago. And every once in a while I listen to a CD, just anyway, it's a good show, it's good times. Give it a listen, and if you don't want to listen, then turn it off now.
Johnny, how long it's been since you and I were friends, making trouble on the wire. You and I would sit around and never wonder how we're going down. Oh, maybe it's the blues, maybe it's the drugs, maybe they're not good enough. Well, I'm sorry, things that I times. Oh yeah, it was the booze and it was the drugs, and yeah, they were good enough, but I'm tired, wanna go home, back to the place where I was before this all started off. I wish we could go back. And it was the drugs, and yeah, they were good enough, but I'm tired, wanna go home, back to the place where I was before this all started off. I wish we could go back. My friend, look at what's come now, we're off somehow, and it's not drugs, and yeah, Rachel, where have you gone? It's been about a day since you've been gone. Well, I tried so hard to be your friend, but you looked at me and you said, yeah, it's the end. I don't know if I'm the right one for you, but I'll just say, well, I'd like to try it too.
Well, I've seen you looking my way, but these words I've never heard you say. I'll take a chance and give you my time. Well, I try and try, but you just keep messing around.
Well, I may be the wrong one for you, but I'd like to say that sometime I had you. I don't know if you're the right one for me, but Mitchell, what have you done with your life? All you seem to do is run. I try so hard to not let you down. Well, I try and I try, but I just keep hitting the ground. Well, I know that I'm the wrong one for you, but I tried so hard, so maybe it was just you. Yeah, yeah, maybe it was just you. I saw you today, am I looking older? Must be that brown tint in your hair. And I saw you and I started thinking about yesterday's things we had done. 2 summers ago, sitting in that field by my house, watching the lives go by. What happened to those days? This one goes out to the one I left behind. I'm sorry for what I've done, yet I say it all the time. Yet I say it all the time. So I sin and I think maybe I'll go to your house and talk on days of old. But that won't happen, no. No, no, not this time. It wouldn't feel right, and it wouldn't be me. And this one goes out to the one I left behind. I'm sorry for what I've done, yet I say it all the time. Yet I say it all the time. Do you know what it took to be with you? To give up everything. I'd lie for you, I'd die for you. And you know every day I cry for you. But now that's gone. This one goes out to the one I left behind. I'm sorry for what I've done, yet I say it all the time. Yeah, I say it all the time. Yeah, I'm saying all the time.
I love you, baby. I just can't take it anymore.
Driving me crazy.
I don't know what to say, honey. But
I just can't take it anymore.
You've got to change, honey.
You've got to change.
I'm not going to do the move first. You got to show me. You got to show me you love me.
Thank you. come to this. I never thought I'd be without your kiss. Suddenly you're gone, you threw away my love. The show must go on, been through pain enough. I know that I may not have given you the thoughts you thought I should. And I know in my heart that I've given you the best of me I could. Even though it hurts, you see, I've done it all for you. Now I'm doing it for me, and I gotta walk away. Have me romantically. I'll be your friend the best I can. No matter where you search, never find a better man. Seeing that love wasn't coming back stronger than before. Instead of fold, you took a step back and closed the door. Set you free. You might come back to me.
still going out over the radio? Yeah?
You have a question?
I just wanted to make an announcement that as soon as this thing is over, there's going to be a huge party at George McConnell's house. And don't worry about tearing stuff up because he owns the place.
It's down there on Sisk, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken, it's right
at the corner of Sisk.
Door down from the corner of Sisk.
Everybody is invited.
Stay away from that house with a pile of bricks in the front yard, though. That dude's crazy.
It's also sponsored by Anheuser-Busch, but I think there might be some beer there. We've been together quite some time. And though I've strayed, you've always brought me wine. And I know you'll never make me blue. But I've just got to tell you, darling, I love you.
There's a thunder in my life, that's my fear. Seeing that same lady girl every night. She looks me right next to me, never fight. So if you're shocked, please, please don't tell your mom. And if you want a little while, then I can't go out. This is a song you're going to be singing for the rest of your life. It goes like this. Doe, the thing that buys me beer. Ray, the guy that sells me beer. Me, the one that drinks the beer. Far, a long way to get beer. That's Marshall County. So, I'll have another beer. La, c'est si vous plaît la beer. T, no thanks, I'm having beer. That will bring us back to
beer.
As we're educating all you newbies to the waves about Lafayette County.
Well, now she treat me fair, baby, never let her down. Come from Mississippi, they call her Sissy Brown. She's a sweet little girl from Shula to Duck Hill. The sweetest little girl from Shula to Duck Hill. A Shula to Duck Hill. Well, I know that I love her, I guess I always will. That's your boy, Mississippi where the grass grows high. I'm gonna stay with her till the day that I die, till the day that I die. Until the day that I die, with a girl from Mississippi, until the day I die. Driving down the road, or driving old Model T. She driving old Model T. She come from Carrollton and they call her Louisa G. Well, she come from Mississippi where the grass grows high. I'm gonna stay with her till the day that I die, till the day that I die, until the day that I die. With a girl from Mississippi till the day I die.
Come on, Tommy Bryan, talk to me. Come on, Robert Chappie. Come on, Timmy Chappie.
I never let her down. She come from Mississippi, they call her Sissy Brown. Well, now the sweetest little girl from Shula to Duck Hill, the sweetest little girl from Shula to Duck Hill. I'm Shula to Duck Hill. Well, I know I love her, I guess I always will.
Let's take it home, boys. Thank you very much. All right, the next story is a big is a true story. Are we just about ready for it?
Yes, it is.
It was written on the last Cinco de Mayo. It's the 1 year anniversary.
We'll be right back. to pour too low. You better flag it down and ride. Better get on board. A Panama red. Smoke blows through the Pullman cars, but it goes straight to your head. Get on board the Rossi train. We're bound for Zion. Smoking up the line, leaving Babylon behind. She's a local combination, numbers 3 feet high. When you see the 420, you better flag it down and ride. Better get on board.
There is Laura, there is Annie, there.
I see Stephanie. I see Todd. I see Farini. I see Stephanie. I see the birthday boy.